expect that many of you today will be tucking into a wide range of vegetables. You'll be having roasted, well, maybe you will be having roasted parsnips. You'll be having glazed carrots. Maybe some of you will even dare to have Brussels sprouts. Apparently, Asda will have sold around 140 million Brussels sprouts in the 2 weeks before Christmas. This morning, I want to talk about peas. I want to serve you just three peas this morning, the three peas of Christmas. And the first P is the plan of Christmas. The plan of Christmas. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into our world, it wasn't by accident. He wasn't born unintentionally, or to use modern terminology, he wasn't an unplanned pregnancy. Well, he may have been that somewhat to Mary. Remember, she was still a virgin when the Lord Jesus was conceived in her womb. In fact, you read there in verse 25 that Mary remained a virgin until after Jesus was born. So we can hardly say that Mary had planned the birth of her son, Jesus. But certainly in the wisdom of God, in the providence of God, the coming into our world of Christ Jesus was no accident. Rather, everything about it was just as God had planned, just as God even had foretold. You see that in verse 22 of Matthew 1. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. In fact, as you read those first two chapters of Matthew's gospel, five times you hear that phrase, or something like the phrase, for this is what the prophet has written. In other words, Jesus, before he was of age, as it were, Jesus has fulfilled Old Testament prophecies when he was too young to have had any choice in the matter. Think about that. I remember talking to folk and trying to persuade them to believe in Jesus. One of the arguments was fulfilled prophecy. And they said, well, he could have just done that and claimed to be the Messiah. But even before he has any influence at all on these, he fulfills prophecies. What happened in that little town of Bethlehem? What suddenly dawned there 2,000 years ago had all been planned long ago. Anything long before anything of what we call history. The Bible tells us that in eternity past, before our world or our existence even began, our salvation had already been planned. God had mapped out a plan to save sinners. And that plan would be a brilliant expression of himself. Through what he would do through Jesus, he would reveal himself in the most vivid, the most glorious way he could. Remember, this is a God who described himself to Moses as compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. This is what our God is like. And so as you read his word, as you go through his word, you see this eternal plan of redemption revealed to us a bit at a time. A bit more followed by a bit more. Even from the very first act of rebellion against God there in the Garden of Eden, when sin first entered our world, even back then, God began to reveal this great plan of Christmas. The plan to save the undeserving. The plan to rescue them from their rebellion, from their sin. A plan to undo all the ruin and all the misery that our sin brings into this world. And as you read through the Bible, you see this great love story. It's like a great jigsaw. And all the prophetic pieces are laid out before us. And as you join piece after piece, maybe you'll do a jigsaw this afternoon, I don't know. But as you join the pieces together, the big picture becomes more vivid. To begin with, they're all over the table. You're not quite sure what this will end up as, except you have the cover of the box. God has the cover of the box. We have the pieces. And as we see those pieces come together, it becomes more and more clear what God is doing. He's a saving God. He's a God who wants to save sinners. Prophecy after prophecy foretelling the details of this coming Savior. And of course, our focus this morning relates to the prophecies of His birth. Prophecies written hundreds of years before Christ came. Prophecies, for example, of how He would be born. He would be the son of a virgin. Of whom He'd be born. From the tribe of Judah, a descendant of David. Where He would be born, in the town of Bethlehem. What He'd be known as Emmanuel, God with us. You read of the gifts that would be given to Him. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. You find even that in His early life He would be in danger. And then we read of King Herod and King Herod trying to kill Him. These prophecies, these are only relating to the birth of Christ. But when you add to these prophecies the details relating to His life, His death, His resurrection, you discover that this one person that all these prophecies point forward to is such a unique person. Statisticians have worked out that for one man, just one man, to fulfill just 8 key prophecies as Jesus did, the chances of that happening is 1 in 10 to the power of 17. That's a lot. When you add to that a further 40 prophecies, the chances are of 1 in 10 to the power of 157. One man to fulfill all of those prophecies, he must be a unique man. He must be a special man. The Lord Jesus Christ came into our world according to the plan of Christmas. According to all that God had planned beforehand and had foretold to His people hundreds of years beforehand. And so when we jump forward then to after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you read of Him walking along that road to Emmaus, and He's with those two people who are very depressed, very down, because the one that they thought was the Christ, well, He's died. In fact, we're all confused because some even went to the grave and found His grave empty. And Jesus says to them, how foolish you are. And how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. A plan. The plan of Christmas. The second P is, of course, the person of Christmas. And when we think of the person of Christmas, maybe we automatically think Santa Claus. It's not, sadly. It's not Santa Claus. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we think of Christianity, it's not primarily about a way of living. Rather, it's all about someone. About knowing someone too, belonging to that someone. Being a Christian is knowing the person of Christmas. It's being able to say that this Christ of Christmas is mine. He's my Christ. He's my Savior. He's the one who came for me. It's a matter of knowing who this person of Christmas is. And so in the passage we read this morning, when the angel appears to Joseph in a dream, he tells Joseph in verse 20, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So not only has Joseph to accept the legitimacy of Mary's pregnancy, but he also has to accept the identity of who it is in Mary's womb. It's Emmanuel, verse 23. It's God with us. There in Mary's womb is what clearly defies the laws of natural science. It's irrational that this child has been born or has been conceived without any male human involvement whatsoever. But it's God who has conceived this baby in Mary's womb. And this baby is Christ the Lord. God now dwelt with man. This long promised Emmanuel had now come. God the Almighty, who is without limit, who is without boundary, infinite God, who Solomon said even the heavens cannot contain him, he contracted himself to a span. And there he is in the womb of Mary. C.S. Lewis writes this: once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world. Only a baby, and yet God, humanly helpless, and yet as God, still upholding all things by his word. It's amazing. It's incredible. As John begins his gospel record, the Word was with God. He was God. That Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. As we sometimes sing, Lord, you are God. Beyond all praising, yet for love's sake became a man. Stooping so low, but sinners raising, heavenwards by your, there it is again, eternal plan. Lord, you are God, beyond all praising, yet for love's sake became a man. This person of Christmas we're celebrating this morning, according to the eternal plan of Christmas, is the Lord Emmanuel, God with us. So the plan of Christmas, the person of Christmas, and then finally the purpose of Christmas. You see there in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, the name that Joseph is to give to this unique child of Mary's. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This child will be a savior. He'll be a savior. I don't know what you young people are thinking of doing when you grow up, when you get older. Maybe one of you want to be a savior of sorts. You want to be a nurse. You want to be a policeman or a policewoman. You want to be a fireman or a firewoman. These jobs or roles, they're all saviors of one sort or another. They come to people who are in need, and they save them. In God's plan, the Lord Jesus was sent to save people. He was sent to save them from their sins. Now, can I just stress that for a moment? Because we can become so used to hearing it that we miss it. The point that the angel makes here is we need to be saved from our sins. You need to be saved from your sins. It's not a matter of just learning how to live with them and accommodating them in your life. You need to be saved from them, rescued from what your sins will lead to. Sin is serious. Our greed, our pride, our anger, our evil thoughts, every unclean deed, our adultery, our fornication, our blasphemy. These things are serious. Our world is full of them. Full of them. But they're serious. They're serious because the wages of sin, or what we should expect in return for our sin, is death. When we sin against God, it is a terribly serious thing to do. When we sin, we are sinning against a holy God, a God who cannot let such sin go unpunished. Because when we sin, we are offending Him. We're proving to Him again and again that we're not good. But the purpose of Christmas is that God sent His one and only Son to rescue us, to save us from our sins. Yes, the wages of sin is death, Paul tells us, but the gift or the free gift of God is eternal life. Where? How? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's in Him. It's not in this church or in that church or that church. It's in Jesus Christ that we find this salvation, that we find this rescue according to the plan of Christmas. You know, when Mary held her little son, the Lord Jesus, in her arms, one day His human flesh would be torn to shreds from the lashes of a Roman whip. As she kissed His forehead, as she smelt that lovely fragrance that every baby's forehead has, did she know that one day His lovely head would be spat upon and beaten with rods? Did she know that one day His forehead would be pierced from the crown of thorns they'd put on His head? And as she held her son's feet in her hand, as her baby wrapped his hand and fingers around her finger, as babies do, according to the plan and the purpose of Christmas, I wonder, did she know that one day those hands and feet would be nailed to an old rugged cross? One day, the precious blood of this precious Emmanuel would be shed for the sins of all who would believe. I wonder, did she know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would one day deliver you. Apparently, the Chancellor of the Bank of England once said this: the significance of Christmas won't be known until Easter. And of course, he was talking about the financial implications of all our Christmas shopping. Give it 3 or 4 months, and then we'll be able to tell how prosperous or not our Christmas spending was. But you know, that same principle applies to the Lord Jesus. Because the significance of Christ coming into our world at Christmas isn't fully realized until we come to Easter, when He died on the cross and 3 days later He rises from the grave. It's not till then that we realize the full significance of Christ, of Emmanuel with us, God now finally, at last, with His people. Because according to the plan of Christmas, the purpose of this person of Christmas coming to us was that through the death of Jesus, sin would be paid for. Sin would be atoned for. That through His death, a just and full punishment for sin would be made. And so, friends, all that is left for you and me to do is to accept God's gift of Jesus, to believe, to receive, to be saved. I wonder, have you left any presents under your Christmas tree? Maybe some of you have to have left them, because you're not going to open them until after lunch. In some houses, though, they receive a gift from Auntie Gertrude. And you know that every year Auntie Gertrude sends you socks, or she sends you a jigsaw puzzle, or even worse, she sends you a book. And so, well, you know where it's from, so you just leave it under the tree, because I'll open it Boxing Day, or I'll open it next week, because I know what she's got me. You know, people look at this gift of Jesus often like that. They say, I know what that's all about. I've heard about this Jesus so often now. He's not special. It's not a precious gift to me. It's just this Jesus story. And so he remains, as it were, underneath the tree. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ came into our world to rescue us from our sins. That is the greatest gift that God could give any of us here today. John tells us Jesus came to his own people and even they rejected him. But, he says, to all who believed him, to all who accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, it's only when we believe in the eternal plan of Christmas and the great purpose of Christmas, then we entrust ourselves to the person of Christmas, and Jesus saves us from our sins. So may God help us this Christmas season to better appreciate his eternal Christmas plan, his beloved Son, the person of Christmas, and to benefit from the glorious purpose of Christmas, that each of us would receive, would accept, would take the free gift that God gives us this Christmas season again. For all who will believe, forgiveness, eternal life, heaven. Let's pray. Lord God,